Brad Meltzer, a book report favorite, is just out with an intriguing new title linked to his popular TV series, Brad Meltzer's Decoded. The book probes into 10 intriguing stories, everything from controversies surrounding John Wilkes Booth to Leonardo da Vinci, to that tragic day in Dallas 50 years ago. Of course, Brad is also the author of best-selling thrillers, including The Fifth Assassin. Now, let's get the inside scoop on his newest title, The 10 Greatest Conspiracies of All Times. Welcome, Brad. It's great to have you back with us on The Book Report.
Always nice to see you, Aline.
As a history lover myself, I loved a thought from your foreword. History is a giant game of telephone. What's vital is finding the first whisper.
And the sad part is that's the hardest part. We today have access to more information than any society in history. And we have, you know, newspapers, magazines, television, and of course the internet, which brings, you know, the Library of Alexandria to your bedroom or in your pocket at any moment. The problem is we don't have facts. We lose facts. And these things are filled with so much misinformation, we don't even know what the truth is anymore. The great commodity is now the truth. And I said, that's what we want to bring back to history is, you know, the best story of all to me is the true story.
I've never heard of the Georgia Guidestones before. Where and what are they?
Yeah, so they're basically like an American Stonehenge, and they're just outside Atlanta in Georgia, of course. And what happened was, is back in, I think, 1980, a guy comes in the middle of the night, comes to the granite company, says, I want to build something that, it's kind of like a Stonehenge in the United States. He builds this multi-million dollar elaborate thing that has the eight of the, it's written commandments that are basically in the eight of the top languages. So there's English and there's Russian and there's, you know, all these amazing commandments that basically say, you know, live in harmony with the universe, you know, don't rule nature. Well, nothing that anyone would disagree with. But then one of them basically says, keep the population under X amount of million people. And people read that and they say, wait a minute, that's far less than we have now. So is he talking about killing people or is this what it is? The interesting part about it is the guy says, you can never say to anyone who I am, that I must remain secret forever. And now when you say that this guy built a monument outside of Georgia, that he's going to forever remain secret, all I want to know is who he is. And the amazing part about the Georgia Guidestones is that psychics from around the world, when they come to that spot in Georgia, they say they feel something. Like the psychic prom is going to be held at this spot next year. And there is a psychic prom, by the way. I just want to be clear. And I love that that exists. And when Florida falls into the ocean, the big one hits and California's in the ocean, somehow this spot in Atlanta, outside Atlanta, is a safe zone. And so to me, the Georgia Guidestones has just become one of the great conspiracies of all time.
How do you dress for the psychic prom?
Listen, you should know. It comes to you in your dream. You know how to dress.
Who are the Rosicrucians, and was Sirhan Sirhan a member?
So the Rosicrucians are one of the great old secret societies. Kind of some people link them to the Freemasons. I mean, you can find, of course, everything can be linked to the Freemasons. But they're really based on this guy named Rosenkreutz, who started this organization that he named after the Rosy Cross. That's where Rosicrucian gets its name from. And Sirhan Sirhan was a Rosicrucian. They dedicate themselves to what they call transformation and mental powers. And some people think that means, you know, ESP, as you I know you have. And Sirhan Sirhan, who famously killed Bobby Kennedy, was a Rosicrucian. But you know what he also was? He was a total psychopath who was suffering from mental illness. And he was a Rosicrucian by mail order. Now, I can be a bride by mail order. That doesn't make me a bride. So I don't really count. You know, I just hate when people take a sliver of history and try to make a bigger point about it. I mean, to say that this guy got a card in the mail and therefore every Rosicrucian is an evil person is just reckless. If you can find the evidence, go say what you want. But, you know, let's you know. It's like saying we found the one bad Catholic person, Jewish person, name the person and saying, you know, we should indict them all. And what is interesting is that when you look at the Georgia Guidestones from above, the guy whose name, who gave his name, played on that Rosencrantz and played on and said his fake name was based on that. And when you look at the Georgia Guidestones from above, they actually form a Rosy Cross, which is the symbol of the Rosicrucians. So many people link the Rosicrucians to the Georgia Guidestones, fairly or unfairly.
Tell us about the Spear of Destiny and its connection to Hitler.
Yeah, this was one of my favorite ones that we did in the book. And the Spear of Destiny is basically the spear that pierced Christ's side while he was on the cross. And for centuries, people say that it had powers, that everyone from Constantine to Napoleon all took power because they touched the real cross. And what was interesting to me is, whether you believe in magic powers or you think it's, you know, totally ridiculous, is the other person who chased this spear is a guy named Adolf Hitler. And you tell me that Adolf Hitler wants it, I want to know what it is, right? Immediately, I don't care what he wants, I want to know why he wants it so bad. And the interesting story about the Spear of Destiny is that the Vatican today says they have the original true spear. They say it's buried under St. Peter's, and they have the real one. There's a museum in Vienna that says they have the real one. There's another one that say they have the real one. And there's a guy who I met who says that he knows someone who replaced Hitler's spear with actually a fake one, and that the real one is held by someone currently. What was interesting to me at the end of the story as we looked for it, one was, you see how just insane Hitler's the Thule Society, which was his kind of secret society within the Nazi Party, was into the occult. They used to literally have their members. So at one point, the Germans were having their members have sex in cemeteries of German heroes because they thought the babies that were born from that conception would take on the attributes of the heroes that were buried in that cemetery. That is bringing it to a new level, right? That's when you stop and you go, what are these people doing here? And the amazing part for me was when I was approached a number of years ago by a guy who, we checked out his story. He's worked for a very powerful man. We checked out with the police his story, verified where he worked, and he said that his former boss, who had the ear of a U.S. president, belonged to an organization that had the real spear. And it was amazing. He said the group that had it was a group that believes that God is the bad guy in the story, that the devil is the good guy in the story. And whether you think it's, again, all ridiculous or not, or what, you know, that they think that they're going to use the spear and take over the world, what I do believe is that they think it's real. And you don't need to evoke 9/11 to know what a group of fanatics with a religious cause can do in the name and do in terms of harm. And that's what scares me in the middle of the night. So you see the whole story in there. And it's really just one of those great conspiracies that you can't prove it, you can't disprove it. You can prove parts of it, and there are still people who think it's happening right now today. And that, to me, is, of course, the most terrifying part.
Yeah. Many of your fans know that you're a comic book author and enthusiast. You credit Leonardo da Vinci with the inspiration for Batman. How so?
You know, and it's not just me. If you look at, so Leonardo da Vinci invented the tank, invented scuba gear, invented, you know, these things, an early helicopter, things they should have never had back then, of course. And one of the things that he drew up was a flying device. And it looks like a kind of almost like a wing. And when you look at Bill Finger and Bob Kane, who are the creators of Batman, when Bill Finger first did the drawings, and Bob Kane, they basically say that it was Leonardo da Vinci that originally inspired Batman's big flowing cape. So I can credit, you know, Leonardo with many things, but without Leonardo da Vinci, there is no Batman. And I love that.
Okay, Brad, no gold in Fort Knox. Say this isn't so.
Listen, I wish I could tell you the answer. And anyone that says they know the answer, unless they were in there themselves, the last time anyone saw the gold in Fort Knox was 1974. That was the last public audit. And I was asked to speak up at Fort Knox, and you know, I kind of rolled my eyes at the idea that there's no gold in there. And then we had this security guard who came on the show, and he said, I was guarding the gold in Fort Knox, and I had my gun, and I said to my supervisor, I said, there's no bullets in my gun. I need bullets. And he said, you don't need bullets. You're not guarding anything. There's no gold in Fort Knox. And I again said, well, you know what? That's one guy. Let's see what we got. We found Senator Huddleston, who was actually the senator from Kentucky, where Fort Knox is. He was one of the people there in 1974 who saw the gold. And we went to him and said, is the gold in Fort Knox? And he said, you know what? I don't know anymore. And we said, what if it's not there? He says, I run for the hills. This is not some crazy person. This is the senator from the state. And it's an amazing story. And of course, it begs the question, if the gold is there, why not show us what's there? And what I love that we do in the chapter in History Decoded is we do show you what has also been stored in Fort Knox. And it's amazing. The government has over the years not just hid gold there.
Which begs the question, what's there?
You really want me to ruin it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I won't ruin everything because you got to leave something for surprise. But at one point, when they were fearful for their safety, we actually even stored the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution there because it was so, just again, think about where it was safe from attack when they thought people were going to attack Washington, D.C. And I love that the government takes this place that we know from James Bond movies, Fort Knox, and still uses it as a safe house.
Huh. Well, of course, your number one conspiracy is the JFK assassination, and so timely as it's the 50th anniversary. So many elements could be seen as conspiratorial, like the umbrella man at the airport. Can you share one or two of the truly obscure ones that you cover in your chapter?
Yeah. So, want me to do the umbrella man because it's such a fun one. So there's a guy you can see in one of the pictures in the background of a photo on this beautiful day in the middle of Dallas on November 22nd is a guy who's holding an umbrella. And you, of course, begs the question, why is a guy on a clear day holding an umbrella and standing there not moving, creepily, just holding this umbrella above his head when there's not a single drop in the sky? And everyone says, it's a signal. He opened his umbrella and Oswald knew to take the shot. It's a signal. There's only one problem with that theory, is what he really is doing is he's protesting and saying, he's protesting JFK and likening JFK to Neville Chamberlain. His Chamberlain used to carry an umbrella, and he said that Chamberlain was an appeaser, and he thought that JFK was an appeaser too. So while JFK's limo was and motorcade made its way through Dealey Plaza, he stood with his umbrella to say, you're an appeaser just like Chamberlain. But again, that doesn't stop people from looking at it and saying, my gosh, look, it's a secret code. It's a secret message. That's how Oswald knew to take the shot. It's a giant umbrella opening up.
Well, Brad, I always love to read and speak with you. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.